1855. What you had. 1. A husband. When you wanted to talk about your husband, you talked about sermons. Sermons, you said, bored you. You sometimes called yourself a sermon hater. In the front row of the Cross Street Chapel, you'd fidget. Your mind would wander as your husband, the minister, preached. You mused about the people in the pews around you, about their lives and secrets, the things that they were thinking about instead of listening to your husband. And when you came back to yourself, you found you had missed almost nothing. He was still speaking. The congregation was still waiting in silence, coughing and sighing, crossing and uncrossing their legs. Sermons, of course, were meant for good, were meant to help you, support you, reform you. And yet, all the same, they were dull, dull, dull. And what you really wanted was to feel something, do something, to be moved, to move, to love. Your husband, the minister, Mr. Gaskell, sequestered in his study in the middle of your house, in the middle of newly industrial Manchester, square in the middle of the 19th century, he was good to the core. He cautioned you when you were reckless or impulsive. He corrected the grammar of your letters before you sent them. He helped you, supported you, reformed you. And you, Mrs. Gaskell, waited outside his study door. You raised a hand to knock, to see if today he would come to the parlour and sit with you and the girls. You wondered whether today perhaps you might find in your husband a conversation rather than a sermon. A faint tap, quiet enough that he could pretend if he wanted not to hear. You pressed your ear to the wood and listened until it was clear there would be no reply. And then you stood there far longer than you needed to, resting your cheek against the cool surface. You were always lucky, Mrs. Gaskell. You were always grateful for what you had. And yet, all the same, you were restless. 2. A career. Sometimes days on end went by in a blur of what you called home life. Meals and clothes and correspondence, hosting and visiting. And by the end of it, you were tired and grumpy, but not tired in the way you wanted to be. You lay awake, exhausted, your mind alert. Beside you, your sleeping husband was eerily still. His body, his very breathing, was moderate, controlled. You imagined moving away, back to the village where you lived as a child, or even somewhere entirely foreign, where nobody knew you, and you could say you were unmarried and had no responsibilities. You told stories all the time, to friends, to yourself. You exaggerated in letters, made up white lies that entertained you and seemed to entertain others, too. You gossiped unapologetically. None of this was enough. There were stories left over. Lying awake in the night beside the motionless Mr. Gaskell, they overwhelmed you, and yet you craved them. You began to keep a diary. It was about the children, you said to people who asked, a record of their development. But it was about you, too. You couldn't keep yourself and your stories out of it. And soon you moved on to articles about culture and country life and sent them, sheepishly, to magazines. They appeared in print. Next, you published short fiction using a pseudonym. Quiet, sad tales about ordinary people like the ones in church, about whose private lives you couldn't help but wonder. And then you wrote a novel called Mary Barton, a great big pounding book about the people around you in the city. The ones you saw crammed into factories and warehouses and tenements, whose griefs you could only, and did, imagine. It became the sort of book that people bought and reviewed and talked about. And all of a sudden, you had a career.